invite Doug to come and be with us.
Thank you, Jim.
I don't need notes, be okay. You can have them. Backups are helpful. Good morning, everyone. Can you hear my sort of croaky voice okay? Good. This morning, as Eleanor has eloquently pointed out, we're looking at this whole idea of vision. And a little bit later, just a few minutes actually, we're going to participate in something that's required of us each year, just to write down a couple of things. I don't know who it is, so I can't give credit to who said this, but he said every organization should ask itself two questions. One question, question number one, what is my business? And the second question is, how's my business going? And if a business doesn't ask those two questions, it is in deep trouble because it loses its way. But to back up a little, I want to read to you from Habakkuk chapter 2. And it's an amazing verse, really, because it helps us understand a little bit about vision. And looking at verse 1 and 2. I will take my stand at my watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. The righteous shall live by its faith. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end, it will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. All the way through the scriptures, it talks about vision and about dreams. I would like to suggest to you that everything, literally everything, starts with a dream. Every enterprise starts with a vision. And on the way here this morning, I had a vision. I was driving. It was still okay. We got here. But the vision was very simple. I saw a man with a vision. And the man with a vision was a local here. He came out and saw all the potential bush-clad hills. Wasn't even cleared yet. And saw what was going to take place. And he started to work out what he saw. And he saw a productive farm. He saw one that was going to produce food that would feed people, not just here, but even overseas. He saw a farm that would provide employment for people so they could feed their families. He saw a productive thing. And it was just bush, but he saw it. And then he started to work it out to clear the bush. And you know, there's more than one or two farms that have developed in this area. Most of us in this room are aware of them, or part of it, but part of a story that started with somebody's vision like that. And even now, as if you're a business person, you have got a vision for what your business is going to produce and do. Is that true or is that true? You've got a vision for it. So in a sense, I don't need to tell you what vision is. It's what you see and you start working at producing. That's what a vision is. There was some wonderful people, Presbyterians they were, who had a vision for this whole area. And they, in a period of 2 years, I believe, they planted 4 churches. Of course, they didn't have quick cars in those days, they just had ponies. But they had a vision for what God was going to do in this whole area. And like a farm, even subsequent people that come, people that pass on and others come, they continue the vision. They continue what was seen in the beginning to actually start to be worked out. And so it is with the church. People move on and pass on over the years. Those coming on might tweak that vision a little. They might modernize it a little bit. They might mess with the buildings. They might put more things in to produce more. But still, the vision continues. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? And I believe with all my heart that God has given to this church something of a vision a long, long time ago. And what we're trying to do in these days is say, how does that vision work out for us? How do we fit into the picture of working that thing out? God has a vision for humankind, for humanity. In a prayer time this morning, it was kind of interesting that, you know, we're praying about world events, and even now we're thinking of world events, and God has got a vision for the planet, and He's working it out. His purposes are being accomplished, and we're part of that. What an exciting thing to be part of that. But here's the thing. If the vision was just a vision and remained a vision, in the natural, the hills would still be covered with bush. In the spiritual, there would be nothing. A vision always has to have action to do something. Habakkuk puts it this way. Write it down. So somebody running past might read it. It works a little bit like this. Write the vision, what I'm about to reveal. You see it, but write it down. Make it plain in large, legible letters. Put it on tablets, it says, in the original. A box with tables covered with wax, on which national affairs were engraved with an iron pen, and then hung up in public at the prophet's own houses or at the temple, so that those rushing past might be able to see what God was saying to the people. It's another reason why we need to have signs on our churches. People rushing past at 100k might see something there. I'm only being a little facetious. But it also said those who run, who read it. So this is what the true sense of it is, and I read this way. So legible that whoever reads it may run to tell all whom he can the good news of the foe's coming doom and Judah's deliverance. That's the literal idea behind this verse. But the picture is still the same. It's about vision. Let him who hears the good news say to everyone who is in reach, come. Run is the equivalent of that whole idea. Now, Joe, if you would just kindly, we'll just go through these quickly if you're able to do this on the screen. I just want to rattle off some things about what vision does, then close a little comment, and then we'll go into these groups. Vision clarifies direction. When you've got a vision, you've got it written down, it shows where you go. Proverbs 4 says, look straight ahead, fix your eyes on what lies before you, mark out a straight path for your feet, then stick to the path and stay safe, don't get sidetracked. Can you imagine if people who have an original vision just get sidetracked? Never be accomplished. Never be accomplished. Number two, it invites unity. And that's one of the things that I think God has impressed upon us, certainly as an eldership, and I believe as a church at the moment, to strive to encourage unity amongst us. There's a sense of family which should not be lost. That's part of the original vision. The culture wants to separate us into individuals, but we're a family. God is our Father, and we're brothers and sisters. And so we need to encourage that idea of unity. I'm not even going to get read. There's too much scripture here for you this morning, because I think I want to make it fairly simple. It facilitates function. We've got an assignment. You know, I think for a bunch of years we struggled in our church with trying to figure out all this mission and vision statements. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Vision, and we spent years messing with all that. Well, our assignment is pretty straightforward. Love God, love people. We don't need another mission statement. We've got one of our own that says that. All churches have one that says that. That is our assignment. It's not rocket science, not complicated. But it needs to be written down so that we might run with it and see it. So we've got a mission statement. But it's a vision thing. What's that really all about? It's a dream. It's a dream of what could be. And then we go fulfilling that dream. That's really what it is. It facilitates function. Number four, it enhances leadership. If you've got some kind of vision, somebody's got to lead the charge. It doesn't just happen. If everybody sort of waits and says, oh, well, there's a good vision. Imagine if everybody in church says, oh, that's a great vision. It brings out leadership to carry that thing out. It prompts passion. You know, I almost think that's the word of the day. Certainly it's the word for today. Passion. When someone has a vision for something, there's passion behind it, regardless of the personality type. You think of your business enterprise, your farm, whatever it might be. Other businesses are involved here. But think of that. There's passion behind what you do. It's what gets you up every morning early. It's what lets you track through the mud. It's what makes you feed the animals. It's, you know, it's a passion to make sure that that vision stays alive. Hard work involved in it. Long hours, a way of life. But it's a passion. It fosters taking risk. Risk-taking. You know, so often we're just so risk-averse, aren't we? We just don't like taking a risk. And yet I tell you something. The farmers in this community have taken a lot of risks. Diversification was one of them, but it kind of forced you there. A lot of risks when you have a heavy investment in something and the weather doesn't cooperate and the machinery breaks down. There's risk in that. You know what I wonder? Sometimes I wonder that risk-taking needs to be transferred into the things of the kingdom. Because this is how you spell faith. R-I-S-K. It offers substance. It creates energy, number eight. Energy. Later on in September, God willing, we're going to be looking at Nehemiah. If ever there was a guy that had a vision and a dream to rebuild a wall and to see some things happen, but there was energy involved in it and all that he did. That's what it says in Nehemiah 2. They replied at once, good, let's rebuild the wall. So they began the good work. The God of heaven will help us succeed. We, his servants, will start rebuilding this wall. It provides purpose. You've got to have a purpose. Otherwise, why do what we do? And it promotes a steadfastness. And this is Proverbs 29:18. This verse has been used so often, some mostly taken out of context. But it says, without prophetic vision, people run wild or cast off restraint. But blessed are those who follow God's teaching. You've got to have a prophetic vision. Got to catch hold of the dream and start living it. So just to conclude, kind of a wrap up. A couple had a dream, and this is from Genesis chapter 40. Listen to this. We both had dreams last night, but no one can tell us what they mean. Remember that story? Interpreting dreams is God's business, Joseph replied. Go ahead, tell me your dreams. Interpreting dreams is God's business. I like that. We're involved in business. I heard once, or more than once actually, people have said to me, in the role that I've had as pastor, you know, it seems like the church is a bit like a business and it's not a business. I'd like to say, au contraire, it is the greatest business on earth. But it's not about making money. No, it's about using money. But you've got to make it to use it. It is a business. It's a family business with a family name. And you know, those that come in and become part of the family business want to continue the good name of the family business. So Joseph said, interpreting dreams is God's business, so go ahead and tell me your dreams. As followers of Jesus, filled with his Holy Spirit, we get to fill out, to work out, and to live out a dream that others have had. And it becomes our own. We embrace it and get in on it. This is what Jesus said. This is Jesus functioning in his humanity. When he became a man at 13 years of age. Hello. No teenagehood in the Bible. Just need to remind us of that. no teenagers, a man of God at 13, in the temple, he said, "Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" That's what he was about, his Father's business. This is what it says in John 5. "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also. For the Father loves the Son and shows him everything he's doing. In fact, the Father will show him how to do even greater works than healing this man. Then you will truly be astonished." Astonished. A vision. I trust that God will continue to give us vision. Eleanor pointed out it's a vision of the future. I believe it is, but it's also a vision of now. It's a vision of what can be. It's a vision of what God said can be. And we look and we hear the stories of other places and what's going on. I tell you, every missionary that went out had a dream of what could be. Is that true or is that true? Have a dream of what can be. You might have to do some ordinary things. Might have to do some hard things. Might have to learn some language. Might have to read the culture. But there's going to be a vision of what can be. You folk that came from Kenya had a vision of what it was like to be in New Zealand. A dream of what it could be like. It all starts with a dream. It all starts with a dream. So, will we take the time today, personally and I believe as a church family, of how we can be part of a dream? Slow down enough to notice the compassion he puts in our heart, the people he brings across our path. From giving a hug, showing kindness, caring for those who just can't make it in life, filling someone with hope, bringing healing to someone. Every day of our life, we can be part of the supernatural business that God has put us in, doing the Father's business. So let me pray, and then we'll go to small groups. Father, I thank you that in the midst of all the natural things that we do, you give us a holy invitation to do something supernatural. Lord, I don't want to just be busy today. I want to be busy about your business. Lord, would you share your heart with us today and direct our steps into the supernatural adventure that you have for us, both as individuals and as a church. And in Jesus' name I ask that. Amen. Amen. Well, the Presbyterian Church National requires us to do something, which is a good thing, I believe. It's addressing those two questions. It says, what is our business, and how's our business going? And we have these little packs that Ethel is going to give out. But I think we could probably get to be about four or five groups. Maybe four people in a group. It might mean you get out of your chair. That's okay. It's legal. You're about to do that. And on this page, we did it last year, and I'm going to remind us what the score was last year. But if you would fill these out to the best of your ability, appoint a scribe, and address the questions, and then we'll just come back and have a little bit of a wrap-up at this time. So, rather than do this after lunch or something like that when everybody's racing to go home, I thought we'd do this as part of the family function today. You okay with that? So, if you could find yourself into about five or six groups, that would be wonderful. Thank you. And just go for the questions. Don't waste too much time. Just go for it. Be good. Would it be helpful if we drew a halt to it now? And sort of keep those bits of paper sort of handy, and maybe over lunch might like to continue to talk about one or two things together, just a thought. Would that work, or be too distracting? We're allowed to multitask, and eating is important. So That's almost as important as filling out these bits of paper. So what's when we come together and someone that's really hungry, anybody really hungry here? Jeff is really hungry, so he can say grace. And we can go and enjoy food together and still continue and write some things down. When we're done with this today, just hand them into Jim and it'll be great. So thanks, Jim. Appreciate that.
Lord, we do rejoice in your goodness and abundance to us, and we thank you for all this good food that you've provided for us.
Yes.
Bless our fellowship together, we pray in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. So the two big things are, what's our business? How's business going?